Weetabix, don't you, to take these microphones off the stand. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you so much for your presence in our midst tonight. Father, we thank you that you are doing amazing things in our time. And we choose to say, have your way. Above everything else, come and have your way this weekend.
Amen.
Lord God, we want to align ourselves with your heart. Lord God, that we will be positioned for all that you want to do in our lives in the days ahead. In Jesus' name. Amen. I had to jump in because the whole carpet thing is just really significant. And we'll really unpack that. Can I say a big thank you to the worship team? Thank you very much. Awesome. I'm Sue Sinclair and I've got the gorgeous Ali with me this weekend. She's amazing. Does anybody need a miracle? We've got some books here that have been given to us. Two of the ladies on our team are from Northern Ireland, and their mum was told that she was dying, terminal cancer, nothing can be done, and God healed her. They've written this book and are making it freely available. So if you just put, we've got four, if anybody wants one, Ali will bring it to you right now. And we just really want to encourage you, you know, that God is a miracle working God, and he's still a miracle working God, and he's still doing amazing things. And I'm so glad that we're here following what Pam shared a little while ago. I love it when we're around Pam, because there's always crazy God things happen, isn't there? Not that God's crazy, but we kind of end up being crazy, don't we? I felt it was really important to set the scene tonight for what we have been hearing from God, what he's been saying to us about the season that we're in. Because actually, if we want to advance, we have to know, you know, what we're advancing into and how we position ourselves. You know, a good army would not just respond to a word advance. They'd get themselves ready. You know, they'd be trained and they'd be ready. And they would know exactly what they were going into, wouldn't they? You know, or hopefully they would. And we just believe it's really important that we understand the revelation that God is giving. God is a speaking God, and he has been speaking and speaking and speaking about the season that we find ourselves in. And he wants us to be positioned so that we are vessels who God can use today and in the days ahead to bring heaven to earth. Because I don't know about you, but whatever you watch, you know, you can see heaven really needs to come to earth a lot more than is doing right now. And God is looking for people who will say, you know, I'm willing to lay things down, and I'm willing, you know, to be a vessel to bring breakthrough in this season. So we're in challenging days, without a doubt. But very significant spiritual days. And I think, you know, we shouldn't be hopeless. We should be encouraged. We should be empowered. And we should be excited about the things that God is doing and not just listening to the doom and gloom and the latest fear agenda of what is being spewed out by the media. You know, today it's fuel. Tomorrow it'll be something else. You know, they've got this whole thing that they're just pumping out every day. But, you know, we have a holy, mighty, awesome God who is completely in control of the nations. He's not losing sleep. He's not anxious. He's not worried, you know, and he knows the time of the clock, and that the clock, the spiritual clock, is ticking. And we are here for such a time as this in all of eternity, you know, God chose you, however old you are or however young you are right now, God chose that you would be here for this very moment in history. You know, it's really, really significant. You're not an accident. You know, God knew exactly your makeup, your character, your personality, all about you. And he wants you to be encouraged tonight that you are here because you are part of his plan and his purpose. So we believe, you know, as a team, CWM, back in Liverpool, we believe this is a very holy moment for us all. God has been speaking. You know, has anybody been having dreams during this season from God? You know, God has been given dreams. God has been given visions. He's been speaking through his word. You know, he's been speaking through the environment. You know, we only have to look around us to see, you know, as farmers particularly, you will know, you know, the environment is screaming at us, isn't it? You know, on every front, you know, we are in a crisis. All creation is crying out, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, and that's you and that's me. And, you know, we have to choose to not just respond to what we're hearing, but to respond to God, so that we respond full of the Spirit of God, we respond full of the power of God, and we're not just responding because we're scared. You know, we're responding because we have the answer, you know, and his name is Jesus, you know. In 2008, I had a dream of Christians, and they were outside the walls of the church. And suddenly something was happening, and I couldn't see in the dream what was happening, but people were running like 90 mile an hour, panicking and running to Christians and saying, what must I do to be saved? And I really believe we're coming into those days, you know, where the world has not got an answer. And we should be so empowered with the love of God and the peace of God and the hope of God and the joy of God that people see that we have the answer within us, you know, and that is Jesus. People will run. They won't run to the church. They're not going to run to the Alpha course, although they might go to those places. But, you know, they are looking for Jesus. And, you know, Jesus is not in a building. Jesus is within every one of us. And so it's a different season that we're in. So it's important that we understand, particularly if you're in leadership, you know, many leaders are panicking because they don't know, are we in the building? Are we out the building? You know, are we online? Are we doing this? Are we doing that? What do we do? And they just don't know which way to go forward. And so it's really important that we tune in and hear God, because God has a strategy, doesn't he, for every situation that we find ourselves in. January 2020, just last year, would you believe, only last year, I was invited by the leaders of Liverpool for the first time ever to go in and speak to them about what is God saying for the season. And the word that the Lord gave me was, I am about to close the doors of the church. And I don't know about you, Pam, but I just had no comprehension of how massive that word was. It was like God was exaggerating, you know, and my little mind could not contain what God was saying. And God was saying, you know, I'm about to close the doors of the church. And my interpretation of that was, you know, churches that have been struggling, you know, where they're really at the end of themselves, where the Holy Spirit is not moving, you know, they're not going to make it, you know, to the end of this decade. They're going to, you know, they're going to have to move out, and somebody else is going to be able to come in, take over those buildings, you know, churches that have been looking for buildings, and God's really going to be moving. But God meant he was closing the doors of the church. You know, and so in March, you know, when everything began to happen, I began to understand and comprehend the magnitude of what God was saying. In March, just a few days, you know, before the close down, the shutdown, you know, the lockdown, I don't think my microphone's working.
Hang on a minute, Sophie. I think the battery must have gone flat.
My battery gone.
It might be.
Just we need ever ready bunny, don't we?
This is the one out of the rabbit.
Yes, yes, this is. So you've got to run around like a rabbit. Yes. Sorry.
It's okay.
We all need the right power source.
Thank you. Sorry, it gives me an opportunity to just go back. January 2020. The Lord also said it was a time for a season of course corrections, where the church can align their lives with God's plans. It's a season of double portions, you know, the whole 2020 thing. But actually, it was about double trouble if we do not respond to God in that season. We find ourselves in double trouble if we don't listen to him. And Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. So even in the midst of all that we were facing, God still wants to prosper his people. And, you know, it's a really challenging time. So God is saying also, I felt God was saying, you know, it's a time when we need to choose between religious life with all its frustrations or kingdom life, where we allow the king to determine the vision and our direction. And the Lord is calling us, his church, into a new season of the pure, spotless bride, and the church must get herself ready. So that was in January 2020. You know, to challenge the church leaders, you know, it was really a blessing. but no, they were great, you know, and really received what we felt the Lord was saying. And so we sense that the Lord is saying, you know, this season we'll see a decade where there'll be real shift and change in the church. The Lord said to me, those who've been organizing conferences are going to lose money, you know, where their whole ministry has been around. You know, we'll have all these conferences throughout the year, and that'll make our salary, and this will, you know, this will be our income for the years to come, etc. And God was saying, I'm shutting all that down. I'm shutting it down because it's got to be about me. You know, so it was very interesting when all that started to happen. You know, this is a season when the word and the spirit will flow together, where God is calling leaders to walk in holiness. And that, are we willing to expose sin that has been operating in our lives to God's love and his grace, his power and his mercy? We need to be determined to finish well in this season, so that we see the harvest coming in. Prior to March, we'd already seen such a huge shaking going on. Stock markets have been the worst that they've been since 1987. Increase of fires, you know, these huge fires. Every time there's a fire, you know, we are losing more of the huge forest areas that give us the oxygen that we need. And so every time there's one of these huge fires, you know, it's a massive environmental disaster. You know, that when the fire goes out, we're not going to have that oxygen being replaced, you know, for generations to come. And so there's been many, many more of these fires. Huge seasons of flooding, with nations being flooded, homes and crops being destroyed, volcanic eruptions. I mean, there's one going off at the moment, isn't it? That's just massive. And again, you know, that is really staggering and impacting the atmosphere, the global atmosphere, you know, is being shaken, you know, out of proportion. Earthquakes again, we're having more earthquakes than we've ever had before. locust plagues. That, you know, last year there was a huge locust plague that caused a state of emergency in Kenya and Somalia and Sudan and Ethiopia. And that's just little locusts that actually have caused absolute devastation. Unprecedented famines, you know, Zambia, Mozambique, Madagascar, go on and on and on. There's been wars and rumours of wars, you know, that again, you know, we're seeing more traumatised refugees now than we've ever seen. I don't know whether you've had any recently arriving from Afghanistan, but we've already had a lot arriving in Liverpool and they're arriving with nothing. You know, these are clever, intelligent, beautiful people, you know, and it's shocking to see, you know, they're coming and they're just absolutely traumatised and broken. Many Christians around the world are being persecuted and slaughtered. And then there's the coronavirus. Nations have been in rebellion against elected governments. You know, we only have to look at what happened on January the 6th. You know, what happened on January the 6th, and you straight away would be like a catapult and catapulting out rebellion against elections. So within days, you know, there was a rebellion going on in Ghana, where a friend of ours has become the president for the second time of office. And again, the opposition were saying this is not a legal election, you know, and you would hear the same things being said again and again, nation upon nation upon nation, because something of rebellion has been unleashed, you know, in the spirit realm. This is not to frighten you. This is to say we are at a tipping point time where God is shifting everything. That's how much he loves us. You know, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And that's in Isaiah 59:19. Let us remember that when death is arising, God loves to demonstrate his life-giving power. I really believe God is confirming to us, you know, that we are in the end times, that we are part of the bride of Christ, and there is a greater urgency than ever that we get ourselves ready. On the 15th of March 2020, I was in church, and this was just before the lockdown was announced. And during the worship, if you're prophetic, I don't know if you're like me, but during the worship, if I'm not speaking or I'm not doing something in particular, that's when God can speak to me. And during the worship, God just began to show me the valley of decision. And it just shocked me because I could see multitudes of people beginning to descend into the valley of decision. And bearing in mind, we had no idea how bad it was going to be, you know, in March of last year. And I could see like multitudes of people just coming and coming and coming into this valley of decision. And I began to sing, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I can't even remember what the worship group was singing, but that's what I was singing. And I just kept singing it over and over and over and over and over again, declaring it out over that valley of decision as people began to come into that place of life and death. You know, that place where they need to make a decision, an eternal decision, you know, for Christ. You know, I was singing, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I knew we were on the verge of something very powerful. Next, I saw a vision of a carpet. God, by this point, had me on the floor, couldn't stand. And I wonder if Ali will be my beautiful assistant. And maybe Pam can come and help as well. That would be cool. I told you I was going to pick on you, Pam. And God showed me a carpet. This is beautiful carpet from Robert's house. And, you know, we were talking about the carpet and rolling out the red carpet for the lost and the broken and the prodigals to return. But you see, the carpet in church right now is not flat like this. You know, the carpet is full of rubbish. And, you know, if we lift this carpet up right now and, you know, thank you, and, you know, all kinds of things are under this carpet. So sin of every size and shape and description are under the carpet. And it's just been getting piled, thank you, Pam, higher and higher and higher as we, the people of God, have turned a blind eye to sin that has been going on in our lives, in our church, in our community, and we can't face dealing with it. So what we do is we just get the brush and we just lift the carpet as church congregation and leads, and we just brush everything under the carpet and just pop it back down again, and we all pretend we can't see it. And it's true, and it's happened for generations. And I've seen this picture before. Can I just have those keys, Pam? Thank you, by your feet. This time, thank you, just those. This time, the Lord showed me this carpet. And he said, it is time for us to deal with what has been swept under the carpet. There is a time, a window of God's mercy, his love, and his grace. And that means we can deal with it, and it won't cost us our lives. Because he's an awesome God. And what he's about to do is so holy that we need to be right. And what I saw this time with the carpet was, as people have come and swept their sin under the carpet, it might be what you would call big sin, or it might be what you might call little sin. But I want to tell you, it's spelt the same way. And I saw sin being swept under the carpet. And as that sin was being swept under the carpet, John, can you come and help me? Can you come and help with the brush, Ali? And I'll just be Satan just for a split second. Okay. So John is lifting the carpet, and the rest of the body of Christ is just sweeping sin underneath. And all the power and authority that God has vested in John as a leader, it's snatched away by Satan. Because you have just given him your power and authority, and he's standing on the pile of that carpet, standing with authority over the sin that you've not been willing to deal with. And I really saw the Lord. It was a heartbreaking thing. And I saw God saying, you have a window of time, grace, mercy, and love. And instead of John putting the sin under the carpet and it being swept under, God was saying, it's time to lift it. And it mightn't be very pretty, but it's time for you to lift that carpet and say, you know what, what's under this carpet is pretty ugly. And it might be as simple as gossip, or it might be as big as sexual sin, but it's all the same to God. And, you know, as you're willing to lift that carpet, John, or whoever, and say, you know what, I'm going to deal with this. And you come to God, God will meet you immediately. And as you deal with the sin, and you're cleansed, and you're healed, and you're restored, I saw Satan coming, and he just snatched. Sorry, I saw God coming, and he snatched the carpet away, and he totally broke Satan's power in your life. And I saw the Lord coming and saying, well done, John. I am giving you back the keys of authority that release signs and wonders and miracles, fresh anointing, fresh outpouring, fresh move of my spirit, because we've been willing to deal with what's been hidden under the carpet for years. And you see, we cannot roll out a red carpet, which we need to do, by the way. But we cannot do that while this carpet is full of rubbish. Because the prodigals are where they are because that carpet is full of rubbish. The prodigals are where they are because we've been a powerless church for too long, because we allowed Satan to take our power and authority. And it's simple. We just need to deal with our stuff. You know, it might be something that's little, or it might be something that you would think is really major, but it's all the same to God. And I really was broken when I saw that. And then immediately the Lord took me into a third vision, and I saw the potter's wheel. And Ali's going to unpack what that really means tomorrow. But I saw the potter's wheel, and I saw the Lord, and he was really violent, actually, which I was a bit offended by. Because, you know, I thought God would be gentle. You know, he wasn't the slightest bit gentle at all. And he was violent, and he violently took hold of the clay and he threw it onto the pot, really with strength and with violence. And it slammed onto the potter's wheel and it began to move under the hand of God. And I really felt God was saying, you know, I'm not about to do a paint job on the church. You know, I am completely remodeling.
Hallelujah.
Completely remodeling. And I've loved watching the pottery throwdown. I don't know if anybody's watched it. It's great, isn't it? And they have all kinds of different ways of firing pots. And, you know, you can commission a pot that's for a specific purpose. But, you know, God wants us to be remodeled so we're fit for purpose. Because if we simply roll the red carpet out, which we need to do, you know what? They will be bouncing straight back out that door again. And we've got to deal with stuff so that this place is so full of the holy presence of God that people will be coming from miles around, you know, because they're drawn by the Spirit of God, you know, because they're hearing about the signs and the wonders and the miracles that happening. Is anybody with me?
Yes.
Cool. You're like, oh yeah, this is a bit heavy. But it is, you know, because God loves us so much. He's given us an opportunity, isn't he, you know, to actually deal with it. Thank you. You can have your shoe back. Hallelujah. You know, we cannot simply keep brushing things under the carpet. We can't simply just expect, you know, to just carry on as normal. And so much of church is just going, well, can't wait till we can all go back to normal. You know, and three quarters of the church are going, I'm not even going back. And that's the truth, because people in the Holy Spirit's stirring us. You know, he's making us frustrated. He's making us uncomfortable because he's about to do something that is so profound and so new. And that's exciting as long as we're hearing him. You know, it's like going back to we'll be in double trouble. You know, it's a season where if we're not aligning ourselves with him, we'll find ourselves in double trouble. You know, we know, you know, that coronavirus is not worried about who it's affected at all, from kings and prime ministers. You know, I was so glad to hear that our prime minister had very godly people all around him when he was at the most vulnerable time, speaking over him, praying over him. You know, I'm really encouraged and believe that God is really on Boris Johnson's case. Really believe that with all my heart. You know, God loves us so much that he will not allow us to stay how we are. He's changing everything. I'm not going to unpack the Jeremiah 18. Ali can do that tomorrow. Second Chronicles chapter 7. No pressure, Ali. 2 Chronicles 7, 11 to 15. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace had succeeded in carrying out all he had mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I've heard your prayer and I've chosen this place for myself as a temple. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague amongst my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. May God have mercy on us. May we all ensure that our hearts are cleansed and ready for the fire. You know, the pot has to go through the fire, you know, and God is getting us ready, you know, for his holy fire to fall. And we need to be ready. We need to be prepared for that. You know, many people are going to encounter God for the first time in this season. Many people are going to be returning to God, you know, because we're people of good news. You know, our team went away and we have an advance every year. Some people call it a retreat, but I'm like, we're Christians. We don't retreat. We are always advancing. And so we went away and one of our ladies who's very prophetic, Holy Spirit just came on her and she just kept saying, it's good news. And that's all she could say. It's good news. And we were rolling on the floor. We were crying, laughing, because it's good news. And we forget that. You know, even in the midst of what God is saying, it's still good news because God is full of mercy. God is full of love. He's a loving Heavenly Father who wants to do immeasurably more than we can dream or imagine. And he wants to give us time so that we can advance. You know, he doesn't want us stuck where we were before all this started. He wants us to be ready for all that he is about to pour out. You know, we will encounter Emmanuel, God with us, in the midst of the tough days that are still to come and the great days. You know, we will experience a new season as the church takes the army boots off. Listen to this, it's really important. As we take the army boots off and in that place of intimacy with the King of Kings, the bride will put on her gospel shoes of peace. They are completely different. Our attire should be completely different. God does not want us to wage war with Satan. The only reason Satan has power and authority is because we've given it to him. You know, when we deal with our sin, he has no power or authority over our lives. It is sin that gives him power and authority. And once we deal with our sin, we need to make sure we are walking with Jesus. We are prepared as the bride of Christ, wearing those gospel shoes of peace that are so full of anointing that wherever we go, we bring the peace of God. We bring the presence of God and people want what you've got. You know, because you come in. I can't imagine anybody coming to Jesus with somebody dressed up with big army boots on. You know, it's that intimacy when you've been intimate with Jesus. You know, our job is actually to embrace the cross and to embrace the victory that Jesus won on the cross and to release that, you know, in our lives and through our lives to everyone around us. I believe we're going to have a really infectious revival because people are desperate for hope. People are desperate for good news, and God wants us to get ourselves ready. Amen. I just want us to pray now, if that's okay. That's kind of what I wanted to release tonight. And, you know, we're going to unpack what this all means, you know, over tomorrow. We're going to look at, you know, what does lifting the carpet mean? How do we deal with that? You know, we don't want to just give a word and leave it there. We want to really push through so that we take hold of that and we actually come out of this place in another day or so changed by the presence of God, you know, changed and ready and empowered, full of power and authority, you know, for all that God wants to do. We're going to look at the potter's wheel. You know, what does that mean? What does that look like? What do all the stages represent? We've got some questions for you that we want you, you know, to think about and to pray about and to ask the Lord about so that you're positioned, you know, to begin advancing. You're not stuck. You know, so many people have felt stuck in this season. I want to share a quick testimony with you of what has been happening with us, you know, since the lockdown. You know, since we went into lockdown, we've seen our leadership team change. We've seen our trustees change. We've lost a few people out of the team that have been very senior members of the team for a very long time. Very gifted, fabulous people. And yet God has just brought in a fresh, you know, new group of people who are prophetic, who are gifted, who are very now people, carrying the Spirit of God. And our, the whole makeup of our team has changed. We've been taking part in Zoom calls that go into America twice a week, which have been absolutely incredible. We've got people coming into that from India and different parts of Africa, Ukraine. We were right in the midst of all that was going on in the middle of the insurrection in the Zoom call. We were in the Capitol building on the 6th of January, absolutely seeing firsthand what was going on the inside of that building when that was all going on. We were praying. Our voices were heard, you know, from Liverpool, from India, from other places in the Capitol building. Just being, you know, when we're full of the Spirit of God, you know, when you're full of the Word of God, your words have power and authority. You know, you can speak into any spiritual atmosphere and begin to see it shift and change. And in the midst of what was going on, we were able to speak and command it to stop and, you know, to bring an end to that violence that was going on. And, you know, it was really strange because our team, we have a WhatsApp group. I'm sure you've got lots of WhatsApp groups. So, you know, the whole time I'm on this global call, we've got our WhatsApp group going and I'm telling the guys what's going on. And, you know, you need to be praying about this and just, you know, telling them so that we've got this big team behind the scenes, you know, backing everything up that's going on. And watching what was happening on the news with horror, you know, like the rest of the world. You know, this is America. This is Washington, D.C. These things don't happen there. Watching it, you know, on the outside, and I'm contacting my friend to say, where are you right now? Do you really know what's going on outside? And he said to me, Sue, I need you to lead this meeting. He said, because I'm going to have to be moved into a safe place. So he said, I need you to lead this for me. And I'd said to our team the week before, you know, you really need to pray for me. I really feel this is going to be really important. And, you know, to be in the middle of the insurrection and my voice being heard in the Capitol building, it's not about me. It's about the Spirit of God. It's about His word in me, His word in you, no matter the situation, circumstances you find yourself in. You know, I didn't have to get on a plane. Praise God. You know, I didn't have to pack my bags. I didn't have to get a visa. I didn't have to go through all the procedure, you know, to get into America. God just did it. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, God can get you into places that you would never have dreamt or imagined. And so in the middle of this insurrection, you know, where my friend and the congressman and the staff were being evacuated into safe places in the building, you know, I was speaking into this situation. And moments later, when Mark was in a safe place and he took back over the Zoom call, we had all these congressmen and women coming onto the screen go, thank you so much for praying for us. You know, and that's God. And he's doing things in the midst of what is happening right now. You know, when, what was the lady's name, Ali? Did you find her? There's a lady anyway. She was the leader of the Republican Party. And Donald Trump didn't like her. Now, I'm not taking sides. I'm standing in the middle. No, it wasn't Nancy Pelosi. And she was the leader of the Republican Party, and Donald Trump didn't like her, so he removed her. Now, the day she was being removed, we were in the Capitol building, again, via Zoom. And so where the rotunda is in the Capitol, it's like one of those places where you can whisper and it'll carry right across the dome. And so Mark was on one side, and then another colleague was on the other side of this rotunda. And all underneath was all the world media who were all there to drag this woman, you know, all across the media in a really awful way and to really destroy her. But, you know, we were there praying. And, you know, that again, our voice from Liverpool could be heard echoing around the rotunda in Washington, D.C., you know, speaking out over the media outlets that cover the whole world, you know, and God wants each one of us to be ready. You know, isn't that just crazy? Who would have dreamt, you know, 2 years ago that that would be possible? I certainly wouldn't have done. You know, and we've been back again, and the last time we went back was again just amazing. And, you know, the general public are not allowed in the Capitol building yet. You know, the staff have been left really traumatized. You know, several of the police officers have committed suicide because they've been so traumatized by what happened on that day. I just felt so burdened for the staff. I felt so burdened for the territory of the Capitol building. This should be a place of legislature. You know, this should be a place of real clarity and government, you know, for the sake of the United States of America, but what ripples out to other nations from there. And so, you know, I said to Mark, I've got to pray. I've just got to pray. He said, just wait a minute, Sue. And the next minute, he's walking up the very staircase where everyone was running up. Do you remember seeing those scenes where they were all running up the staircase? And he said, right, Sue, begin to pray. And God just gave me a prayer and a declaration to make, and the hairs were standing up on the back of my neck. You know, when that weighty anointing of God just comes upon you, and, you know, wherever you are, God has got things to do through you, bigger than you could dream or imagine. You know, I'm only a woman from Liverpool. I was sitting in my living room. How do you do that? You can't. It's God. And in the midst of the chaos of what is going on in the nations, God is still on the throne. God is still looking for men and women, ordinary people, just like each one of us, you know, who he can use. And, you know, Zoom is not the greatest thing in the world. It's much better being together. But I really thank God for it. I really thank God for it. Because it's enabled us all, you know, to still be operating and to still be releasing God's word. Shall we pray? Is that good? Is that good? Could you play? Play and we'll pray. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. And we ask you to come upon us right now. Whether we're here in the building or whether we're at home, Lord God, we ask you to come. And we thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your love that gives us time to change. And in the spirit, Lord God, we just say, we're lifting the carpet, God. We're lifting the carpet, God. We're lifting it over our lives. We're lifting it together in the church. Right across the nation, God, we're lifting that carpet, God. Lord God, and we're taking that sweeping brush, Lord God, and everything that has been hidden, Lord God, we're brushing it out. And we say, Holy Spirit, help us to have the courage to deal with those issues that have been buried alive. God, those things that have broken our hearts. Lord, those things that have caused our friends who we've loved to flee from the church. Our children. Father, they see that carpet full of rubbish. The world sees it with such clarity. God, we ask your forgiveness tonight. Lord, we say we're sorry that we've just turned a blind eye to it. And we ask you tonight, God, to give us the grace again, to give us the courage and the boldness to deal with whatever is under there, Lord. Lord, for some of us, we've been the perpetrators. For some of us, we've been the victims. For some of us, we've been both. For some of us, Lord, it's things that's happened to people we love. But Lord, we just want to clear the way because we do want to see that red carpet go down. And so, Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. We pray for Justin Welby. We pray for the Anglican Church. We pray for the Pope and the Catholic Church. We pray for leadership of the church, every denomination, every stream. Lord, and we say, as ugly as it is, expose the sin. Expose the sin, God. Expose the sin in the police force, God. Just the stuff we've seen in these last few days. Father, we pray, lift the carpet. Everything that's just been colluded and hidden. Lord God, we pray, lift it up, Lord God, and bring it out into the light. Lord God, where the captives can be set free. Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to come alongside people, Lord God, who've been so damaged and traumatized. Lord God, that you will empower people to step into victory and into freedom. Lord, we just thank you that this is a holy moment, that you love us so much that you won't leave us where we are. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And we say thank you, God, that you're not just here with a big stick. Lord, you're not here to beat us up, Lord, because we've messed up. But Lord, you're preparing your beautiful bride. Lord, you're preparing your people to carry your glory and to carry your fire and to carry your presence, Lord God, to move in signs and wonders and miracles. Lord, I thank you that you are not a God who's doom and gloom, but Lord God, you are the God who wants us to really take hold of the victory and to live as victorious people of God. And so we just want to give you the glory tonight, Lord God, for all that you're doing and that you're speaking to us because you trust us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.